And of course, everything has their code words, and so does Agenda 21. It brings with it a bunch of code words and phrases that sound nice, sound cute, sound hip, like smart growth or social justice, biodiversity, sustained development. Sustained development means they empty the planet of people, basically. When those terms are fully implemented by law, what it's going to mean is an environmentalist dictatorship. The tree huggers will be in charge. And it'll be an elevation of the pagan practice of earth worship. These people already worship the earth. All right. By 1992, over 179 countries, including the U.S., had signed on to Agenda 21, promising to implement all these laws and regulations, okay, that are going to put people in bondage. And many more nations have joined since then. Agenda 21 in 1992 had already been implemented in over 600 American cities. 600 in 1992. This is 2012. Do any of the things you're seeing now start to make sense? This thing is designed to control every aspect of human life, to take away your property rights, your political rights, your cultural rights, everything, religious rights, and make you a slave of worshipers of demons. It's designed to control every aspect of every human and every square inch of the planet. That's what they're shooting for. It's a worship of the earth and nature, so it makes animals, plants, and trees more important than humans. So the real message of this thing is, you know, man's the problem, nature must be preserved and take precedence over everything, and Mother Earth must not be touched or scratched or harmed in any way. Rather, you kill 10,000 humans than do one piece of damage to Mother Earth. I'm going to read some articles just from this week where once you see what's going on here, these articles will start to make sense of what's happening. It's not a random breakdown. Certain government officials in one state just don't go nuts and the other ones are sober. There's a planned thing going on here. So I'm going to read some articles from this week that especially had to do with the attack on farms, the attack on any kind of fruit production, and the attack on property rights. That's what I'm going to focus on this week. I just wanted to give you an idea of why we want judgment to come. These people are evil. They're here. They may be your local sheriff. They may be your local representative here. I mean, they may be sitting on the Chamber of Commerce. It's all the way down to the very bottom of society here. And it's evil. The United States government has declared war on farms. I don't know if you realize that. They have declared war on farmers, on any kind of individual food producer that's big. And once they get all the big people out, they're going to start on you, the little single guy. If you've got a garden in your backyard, pretty soon your sheriff's going to come and tell you to shut it down or go to jail. Maybe you remember the eminent domain cases. I don't know if you know what eminent domain is. Eminent domain is legalese for them to come and take your home, property, and everything and not have to pay you a dime on certain circumstances. You may have remembered last year there was two or three big high-profile eminent domain cases in other states, and nobody knows what that's about. Nobody knows why. What's that? That's a freak. No, they were setting a legal precedent. So then in the future, this Agenda 21 has been implemented all the way down to the local level, and some environmental wacko wants your house, sends a sheriff out to peg you with some obscure international ordinance that you're breaking. You take it, get out of your house, throw you out, and take your house in the name of eminent domain. So now I'm not discussing these things tonight because, you know, I want to try and stop them. I want people to go out and try and stop them. We want to change them. No. We're discussing the show just how corrupt the leaders of this nation are. So when God judges this nation, and you hear these wicked men on TV say, oh, we don't deserve this. Oh, no, we do deserve it, and they deserve it. The people who run this nation are wicked, and they're in the employ of people above them, globalists, who are even more wicked. They're all liars, greedy thieves, and murderers. And God is soon going to put his wrath on them. He's going to judge them for his wrath. And when that day comes, you better be on the right side and be praising the Lord, saying, hallelujah, true and righteous are your judgments, O Lord, because you're judging those who are murdering people. Before I start these articles, I also want to tell you this. I got a bunch of videos up on my website. So make sure you check out the website this week. I got a bunch of videos, mostly concerning the war on farms and farmers and this GMO stuff. I don't know if you know about genetically modified foods, but they're poisoning the entire population of the country and of the world through GMO crops. That's another part of the whole agenda. They're going to reduce the population by war, by famine, by disease, any way they can. Now, they're serious. This ain't no joke. They're going to do it, and they are doing it. And a lot of it's being done through local zoning laws, local ordinances, building codes. They're no longer local. They're international. First, I'm going to start with the zoning thing. Your local government can really stick it to you, all depending on what their political affiliation is, what their leanings are, if they're pro this or pro that. They can really stick it to you, and they can use zoning laws to stop things they don't like anymore. This is not legal. A California county changes zoning to stop a gun shop from opening. This guy says, I've said it time and time again, that California is a land of nuts and fruits and flakes and one of the most liberal states in the country. Just consider the fact that it is a home to the Ninth Circuit Court of a anti-Christian, anti-family, and anti-U.S. Constitution court in the land, and it is home to Representative Nancy Pelosi. In keeping with the state's reputation, Alameda County Board of Supervisors has abused their powers to prevent three businessmen from opening a gun shop. Located on the east side of San Francisco Bay with a population of 1.5 million residents, Alameda County is one of the 10 most populated counties in the state of California. In 2010, Gary Gamaza, Steve Nobriga, and John Texeria, formed a partnership and set out to open a gun shop in Alameda County. They followed all the laws and zoning requirements and applied for the necessary permits. One of the county's zoning requirements for a gun shop was that it had to be more than 500 feet from any private residence, school, or liquor store. When the three partners found the location they wanted, they carefully measured distances to the nearest private residences and ensured that they met the distance ordinance and even had a buffer distance to boot. The West County Board of Zoning Adjustments voted to give the three men a conditional use permit, which would allow them to proceed with their plans to open the gun shop. After the zoning approval was granted, the Alameda County Board of Supervisors changed the distance required for gun shops, putting the location of the new store in violation, and permits were denied. He says this is a violation of the rights of equal protection and due process under the 14th Amendment and cannot be allowed to stand. He says social bigotry is bad enough when practiced by the media and the gun prohibition lobby, but when it becomes the official policy of an elected government panel, it then becomes necessary, if not imperative, for the courts to intervene. Okay, so apparently these local leaders are all anti-gun, pro-gay, liberal, anti-gun, anti-conservative, and these guys are going to build a shop that was within all the stupid laws, and then they went and changed it on them because they didn't want a gun shop there. That's what it's coming to. Next article is called Brutal Gestapo Tactics Are Being Used Against Homeowners All Over America. You see, the eventual object is no homeowners. They don't want any individual landowners. According to the Communist Manifesto, according to UN Agenda, people get rich off land, they accumulate wealth off land, so nobody should have any private land, except the state, of course. This guy says, property rights are being absolutely shredded all over America. Buying a piece of land and enjoying it with your family has always been a big part of the American dream. Unfortunately, in the United States today, you don't actually own your own home. If you don't pay your rent, that's property taxes, your home can be taken away from you, and you're only allowed to use your property in a very narrowly defined way. The control freaks that run things tell us what we can build on our own property, what we can grow on our own property, what types of gatherings we can have on our own property, how many visitors we can have on our own property, and they have imposed very strict rules about how our property must be maintained. If we get out of line, they will use zoning ordinances and code violations to make our lives a living hell. All over America today, brutal Gestapo tactics are being used against homeowners that just want to be left alone. Anyone that has ever dealt with a compliance officer or a nuisance abatement team knows what I'm talking about. But if we have so very little freedom on our own properties, then how in the world can we continue to call this country the land of the free? It says down in Georgia recently, a huge male compliance officer let himself into a woman's home, marched into her bedroom, and started yelling at her for letting her grass grow too long while she was still in bed. This is a quote from the article. It says, a woman got the shock of her life when she woke up to find a stranger in her bedroom yelling at her to wake up because her grass was too long. Arika Masters was asleep when Columbia County Code Compliance Officer Jimmy Vowell entered her Martinez, Georgia home without permission to serve a violation notice for her overgrown lawn. After knocking on the woman's door a few times, Vowell let himself in, made his way to her bedroom, which was captured on surveillance video. He said, how would you respond if a strange man barged into your bedroom and started berating you about the length of your grass? Well, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd tell you how I respond. I'd have blown his brains out. Says elderly Americans being evicted for not paying property taxes. All over America, Homeowners are being evicted from their family homes because of unpaid property taxes. In some cases, the amount that is owed is only a few hundred dollars. Big banks such as Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase have been buying up tax liens all over the country because they're extremely profitable. It says tax liens can yield an incredible rate of return as high as up to 50%. Many state laws permit tax lien purchasers to charge homeowners extremely high interest rates and fees to redeem their property in order to avoid foreclosure. For example, redemption penalties in Georgia, Iowa, Mississippi, New Jersey, and Texas all exceed 20%. For these reasons, tax lien sales are often marketed as get-rich-quick schemes on websites. In many cases, elderly Americans that don't even understand what's happening are being forced from their homes just so that the investors can make some quick money. Just check out one recent report. The report cited a case of an 81-year-old Rhode Island woman who fell behind on a $474 sewer bill. A corporation bought the home in a tax sale for $836. The woman was evicted from the home. She had lived there for more than 40 years, and the corporation resold the place for $85,000. Okay. Another example is one elderly Montana woman who lived alone, had no close family to help her, fell more than $5,000 behind on taxes. After she failed to respond to letters from the company that bought her home in a tax sale, she was evicted. As a result, she lost about $150,000 in equity in the property. Could you do that to an elderly woman? Well, of course they can. They're filled with Satan or corporations. And the reason there's no laws to protect these people is because the state and the government want your home. They want you to go bankrupt. They want to take over your home. They're against everything America's ever stood for. And they're making laws that protect the criminals. This is all over the country. Control freak bureaucrats are using code violations to force homeowners to tear down beautiful home improvements. This is especially true for homeowners that have gone off the grid. They hate people who are off the grid, that don't have to work, that don't have to pay a mortgage, that aren't beholden to the government, have their own electricity. They hate those kind of people. They want everybody to be totally 100% dependent on the government, everything, so the government can dictate whatever you do. It says, for example, a 6 to 7 year old man in California has spent 40 years transforming his property into an off-the-grid, self-sustaining habitat. This 4 decades ago, Hoffman started some home improvements on his house in the wooded hills of the Marion County town of Linguadis. He harbored ideas and theories of how people could live more sustainably. He started building. He dug a massive valley near the slope of his home and installed a pond. In the middle of it, he built a concrete boat to house a 15-foot well. The groundwater would refill the pond through a sun-powered pump. As the owner of a tea distribution business, Hoffman also built a tea house with ornate metal carvings of dragons and a sloped tile roof. He carved elaborate caves to dry his rare tea leaves. He constructed a tower bearing a solar shower that hovers over a moat carrying recycled water from the house. But now the authorities are making him tear everything down because of code violations. Hoffman has been charged fines that total over $200,000, and he's being forced to tear down all 30 of his illegal structures by the beginning of August. Here's one survival garden ripped out by government thugs. Says, I have used the following story before, but it is another perfect example of the kind of Gestapo tactics that are being used against homeowners all over the states. Just recently, one unemployed woman down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, had her survival garden brutally ripped up and carted away by government thugs. The article says, a Tulsa woman is suing the city's code enforcement officers after she said they cut down her garden with no cause. Denise Morrison said she had more than 100 plant varieties in her front and backyards, and all of them are edible and have purpose. She knows which ones will treat arthritis, which will make your food spicy, which ones keep mosquitoes away and treat bug bites. But she said none of that matters to the city inspectors. Last August, Morrison's front and backyards were filled with flowers in bloom, lemon, stevia, garlic, chives, grapes, strawberries, apple mint, spearmint, peppermint, an apple tree, walnut tree, pecan trees, and much more. And for this woman, it was really a survival garden. She relied on those plants and trees for her food and for her medicine. But the government thugs left her with nothing. Now she had to do the best she can to survive on government handouts. Sadly, there are so many other examples that could be discussed of brutal Gestapo tactics being used against homeowners. The other day, I wrote about how one man down in Arizona has been sentenced to 60 days in prison and fined $12,000 for hosting a Bible study in his own house. You guys probably heard that. That was big news the other week. Most of the times the gatherings were only about 15 or 20 people. They were not unruly, and they did not make an unreasonable amount of noise. If you can't invite a few friends over to your home, then how much freedom do you really have? In the state of California, armed nuisance abatement teams roam around looking for someone to hit with a code violation. preppers, they're called preppers, people who are off the grid and people preparing for the apocalypse, you know, preppers and those who prefer an off-the-grid lifestyle appear to be some of their favorite targets. Is this still America? We don't get to do what we own properties, but government feels that it can do just about anything it wants to us in the name of national security. That's just one article on the war on homeowners. Now we get to farmers. One here says, Obama's attacks on the family farm come straight from Marxist handbook. The administration's Department of Labor implemented new regulations to restrict children from working on the family farm. It says, for generations, children and adults have worked together on the family farm. Those days are over. That was a bill to pass to stop children from riding on tractors until they get a license, which you can't. You know, a 12-year-old kid can't get a license. Another one says, EPA regulations threaten family farms. In just the last 3 years, the Environmental Protection Agency has set in motion a significant number of new regulations that will significantly change the face of agriculture. The coming changes threaten the continued operation of family farms and ranches. EPA proposals are overwhelming to farmers and ranchers and are creating a cascade of costly requirements that are likely to drive individual farmers to the tipping point. The overwhelming number of proposed regulations on the nation's food system is unprecedented and promises profound effects on both the structure and competitiveness of all agriculture. Anyway, they're passing more regulations every day. It's making it harder for the farmers to keep operating. Here's one about the crop dust. They're trying to crack down on crop dust. When they drive their tractors across the field, they're saying they're emitting too much dust, put too much dust in the air. EPA is considering a crackdown on farm dust, so senators have signed a letter addressing their concerns. So the EPA is trying to pass the law against farm dust, and the farmers are fighting back. And food storage. You know, it's already a law in the books. If you got more than 7 days storage in your house, they can arrest you in certain places. It's not federal law. I think it's state law in some states now. But soon it'll be federal. Here's federal agents raid a Mormon food storage facility. And they demand a list of customers storing emergency food. It was the plan all along. The so-called war on terror has officially devolved into a war on the American people. This was clearly illustrated by the recent traitorous passage of the Egregious National Defense Authorization Act. But in order to fully implement the ultimate goal of total control and tyranny, the federal government is now actively collecting the names of individuals that are preparing for the future by buying and storing emergency food supplies. Oath Keepers, an association of active servicemen devoted to upholding their oath of guarding the Republic and protecting individual liberty, has reported that federal agents recently paid a visit to Latter-day Saints Food Stores Cannery in Tennessee. Though they had no reason to be there, these agents allegedly interrogated the facility's manager and demanded to see a list of all customers that had purchased and were storing food there. The manager informed the agents that the facility had kept no such records, that all transactions were conducted on a cash and carry basis. The agents still pressed for any record of personal checks, credit card transactions, etc., but the manager could provide no such record. The agents appeared to become very agitated, and after several minutes of questioning, they finally left with no information. Okay, that's an unprovoked act of intimidation for no reason. It's illegal. Of course, nothing's illegal in this country anymore. Whatever they say is legal. This is one of my, I have a video with this, so I won't read the whole thing. One of my videos deals with this. Insane Michigan government announces plan to destroy ranch livestock based on their hair color and arrest hundreds of ranchers as felons. The state of Michigan is only days away from engaging in what can only be called true animal genocide, the mass murder of ranch animals based on the color of their hair. It's all part of a shocking new, quote, invasive species order put in place by Michigan's Department of Natural Resources. This invasive species order suddenly and shockingly defines virtually all open range pigs raised by small family farms to be illegal invasive species. And possession of just one of these animals is now a felony in Michigan, punishable to up 4 years in prison. And that's not something new. They just didn't bring these pigs in. It says these pigs have been ranched and farmed in Michigan for decades. The state doesn't seem to care about this, and there are no indications that this ISO may have been nudged into position by the conventional pork industry as he tacked to wipe out its competition. The big corporations that grow pigs, they bribe somebody to put a law in Michigan to kill their competition. And I put that video up. So that video's on, you can watch that whole story. Michigan must be a crazy state. Bureaucrats in Michigan threatened a woman with a jail time for planting a vegetable garden in her own yard. That's another one. They had to tear up her yard and do something with the sewer. And instead of putting that back in, she just put some flowers and stuff. She had her front yard full of flowers and vegetables and Everything was edible or usable, and they threatened to put her in jail. Told her she had 7 days to destroy it all. And I don't know if y'all have heard the controversy on raw milk, but you'll see that in my videos. The milk we buy at the store is contaminated with different kinds of things they shoot into the cows. And so raw milk is becoming pretty popular now among farmers and people who live out in rural areas, preppers, homesteaders, and all kinds of people. And federal government go against it, and there was a raid here. SWAT team came out to this one farm and illegally invaded the whole thing, threw all the guys' milk out, shot the cows, and all kinds of stuff. That's a long article. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to wind this down here. You all know that we're having the biggest natural disaster in history in the U.S. right now, this drought. And it's still going to go on into August. And the other day, the agricultural secretary, in front of the cameras, he made the mistake of telling people that he prayed at home. Okay, he wasn't praying in public. He didn't ask anybody to pray in public. He just made the mistake of telling people that he prayed in his home every day for rain. And some kind of atheist organization went berserk when they heard him say that. His name is Tom Vilsack. He gave a briefing to reporters about the latest thing about the drought. The Humanist Council went nuts. And this president's council said, this guy's mention of prayer sends a wrong message to distraught farmers. He says, praying for rain? That's not just government entangling itself with religion. That's government publicly practicing it and wallowing in superstition. And it goes on to say how this guy's saying it's outrageous. I want to point that out because, you know, it's not just the politicians and the leaders of this country that are wicked. It's the people that are wicked. You know, John Adams, he said the only people who can keep the American government from eventually sliding into anarchy, tyranny, despotism, the only people that can stop that are the people of the country. They built a nation that was designed for the people to keep the nation straight. And the people went off. They didn't all reject God, but slowly the people turned away from God, lived a good life, and just dropped out and don't care what's happening to America. Don't care that atheists, homosexuals, murderers, abortionists, people like to murder babies. These people all take over the country, and now they're crying and weeping because they're going to lose their freedoms. But it's the people who gave the country up, because they can't have a country like this without God. The country was based on religious principles, and it was based on Christianity, and when you turn away from Christianity, you lose the country. That's all there is to it. And so it's not just the politicians that have sold out to corporations and stuff like that. It's the people in the country that are evil. And so the country's going to hell. God's turned it over. It's been sold out to evil, wicked men. The more wicked, the better, as far as they're concerned. And they're building this beast government, and it's coming to pass right before your eyes. All these seemingly unrelated things that are bizarre and weird and wild noise breaking down. It's all part of this agenda to take away all rights, all slaves of a demon-worshipping society. That's one of the reasons why we are praying for God's judgment to come on this nation and upon the world, and for him to establish his kingdom, because it's evil. Just wanted to let everybody know that we're not just a bunch of negative, hateful people here. There's a reason why we're praying for God to judge this earth, the nations, this planet. It deserves judgment. The people deserve judgment. The governments deserve judgment. And we want God's kingdom to come so righteousness can flourish. Amen? Okay. Looks like we got Cameron's here. Go ahead, Cameron.
Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate you talking about all this. I wanted to quick talk about a Chick-fil-A restaurant, what's been going on with them. I guess recently here, the president of Chick-fil-A just announced that they're very against gay marriage. And as Dan was talking about earlier, Agenda 21, I think, supports gay marriage, because evidently a guy and a guy cannot have a child, and they want to reduce this population of the earth. So Chick-fil-A is very against gay marriage, and I guess the mayor of Boston is threatening to close down all the Chick-fil-A restaurants because of that. I think that is something, and I think, you know, Chick-fil-A restaurants should be well supported because of their stance they took on gay marriage. And also, too, I wanted to quick bring up about World War III, and I don't want to say thus saith the Lord, but I really believe that we are very soon to World War III here. And Dan mentioned that the whole point of it is to reduce the population of the earth, and I really think that's true. So I think that's all I had to share, guys. I just wanted to quick bring that up. Thank you.
That's right. We're going to open a Chick-fil-A in the bottom of our barn just to support that. Okay, anybody have anything to share? It wasn't too spiritual, but I just want to give you the reasons why we're ready for judgment to come. When the bombs start dropping, I don't give a rip. Nobody cares here. We're waiting for them. See, we got Andrew, Brother Andrew. Go ahead. You got the mic, Brother Andrew.
Well, good evening, everyone. I just wanted to get on to and share tonight something that was real to me today at breakfast with the brethren. We were talking about all the various kinds of seeds and what each one grows into. You know, just think of how a pumpkin seed grows into a sprawling vine that can grow huge pumpkins that bear even more seed. A little acorn can grow into a massive oak tree that can live for 100 years or more, producing countless millions of acorns. All that is needed is for the little seed to die and be planted, and God created all of the elements in the soil for that seed to produce fruit after its kind. Jesus said in John 12:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The same thing is true in our spiritual lives. We must die our Adamic fleshly nature that we might come forth in Christ. Here again, God has all the elements in place for us to grow into the stature and fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:11-15 says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ." When you think about the miracle of a little seed and all that it can be, it makes the theory of evolution look even more pathetic and disgusting. Evolution is a solution for our existence that comes from people who hate God, plain and simple. This world and the things in this world are being used deceitfully and destroyed because of a hatred for God and his creation. That was all. Back to you, Dan.
Amen. That's true. Good word, Andrew. Thanks for sharing that. All right. Anybody else here? In the room? In the house? Uh-oh. Let's see, we got
Seth. Hello, everybody. You know, something that I was thinking about as well was that all the people, especially like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and all them conservative talk show hosts that are trying to save America, some because they realized what it was, but that still isn't going to help. They can't get it back since it's too late. But they think that we need to get America back and that God still is helping America and supporting America and wants it back too and is helping us to do it. And they even say that we should pray for it and that they pray for it. But that time is past. And you know, the only nation that God is going to even come back and fight for is Israel. And it's mentioned in the Bible in that Israel's the one that he's coming back for. That is his kingdom, where his kingdom's going to be established. Israel's the only one that he's coming back to fight for and to stop the nations from blowing up. So they want to stop, you know, from blowing up America and all that, but there's nothing that says it's going to be stopped. If there's any place that we need to pay attention to, it's Israel, and like the Bible says, is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, that's all I had. Back to Dan.
Good. Very good. Amen, Seth. That's right. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Well, I'm glad you showed up, Sister Seabley. And you can welcome back anytime. If you want to email us or talk to us, that's fine. You email us. You got anything to say or share, ask. Oh, wait a minute. We got Johnny. Good, Johnny, you got the mic.
Okay, Dan, I was just going to mention that story about we were talking about maybe a month ago or so, of that local elderly man that had the ice cream shop on his property, and he could keep making his house payments or farm payments if he had that thing. And wasn't there something about that? They shut him down or something? I just want to mention that because it fits your story here. if you know any more about that, you could add more to that. Back to you.
Either I missed that story or I forgot it. I don't remember that at all. Any of you guys here remember that one?
Yeah.
Okay, Cameron remembers it. He'll comment on it.
Yeah, Johnny, basically I think that farmer there was adding on to his buildings there, and he did not have the right permits for it. And yeah, it was just a simple, wanted to make ice cream there and sold it. And that was the way he made his living. And because he did not have permits, they shut his whole complex down. However, there's something fishy with that, because there's something more going on, because of course he produces ice cream himself. So, of course, they don't like that. So I think that's the real story behind the story there. So, yes, that's very good. All right, that's it.
All righty. One last call here. Okay, guys, well, thanks for coming. I appreciate it. I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.